In this week's international media, we'll take a look at India. On June 22nd, the burnt body of a journalist was found in the state of Maharashtra the day after he was kidnapped. The murder of Sandeep Kothari is the second journalist to be killed in the country in just 2 weeks. According to reports, Kothari, a freelance reporter, was killed in connection with his coverage of illegal sand mining in the region. Sumit Galutra, the Asia Programme Research Associate at the Committee to Protect Journalists, gives the details of the case.
When any form of violence takes place against journalists in big cities like Delhi or Mumbai, it does generate a great deal of headlines, a great deal of media attention. Unfortunately, when journalists are killed in these smaller towns, it does generate fewer headlines, less attention, and often the motive is really hard to establish because the nature of journalism in these hyper-local areas is so complicated because oftentimes these local journalists are working as freelancers. They're also engaged in other business deals. They may have other side businesses. So it's often hard to establish when they're not working full-time with any of these media houses in these small towns. It's really hard to sometimes establish whether they were targeted in relation to their journalism or not. The information certainly is also hard to come by.
Despite its numerous media houses, India does poorly when it comes to press freedom. It ranked 136 out of 180 countries in the 2015 Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index. Benjamin Ismail, the head of the Asia desk there, says the situation is worsening.
It becomes more and more dangerous, actually. It is not a very well-known fact, but in 2013, the deadliest country in the whole Asia-Pacific region was India, not Afghanistan, not Pakistan, but India. 8 journalists were murdered that year. Most of them were freelance and investigative journalists. It is a country where violence towards media professionals is unfortunately increasing.
But Sachin Kalbaj, an editor at the newspaper Midday in New Delhi, says the reality is more complex than this.
India has a rich tradition of freedom of expression and freedom of the press. So what happens is that, you know, these incidents do get highlighted. And while these incidents are condemnable, it's not a general state of the media right now. 2 journalists were burned to death in the last 2 weeks in India. But India has close to 85,000 newspapers, close to 900 TV channels, close to 100 to 150 radio stations. It will not be right to say that one incident, it says a lot about Indian media. It does not. India does have a lot of freedom of expression, and the press takes its freedom very, very seriously. So, yes, it is an exciting time to be in India as a journalist, because you have a lot of challenges that are the Indian government, regardless of which party it is, has always tried to control the Indian media through various means. But the Indian media has always fought back. And that is the strength of the media so far. However, there are incidents where you see that journalists themselves have ceded ground to politicians or to corporate or commercial interests. And that is where we need to keep our attention really strong.
Kalbaj adds that there are a lot of disparities between Indian states.
It does not matter so much in India if you are in a big city like New Delhi or Mumbai or in Bangalore. Generally, journalists in these cities they consider themselves safer than in the smaller towns. However, having said that, in our own newspaper, one of our journalists was shot down by the criminals in Mumbai because he was a crime journalist for close to 20 years. And he was shot down because he was working on stories that might have exposed the Mumbai underworld. Having said that, there are small towns in the country. Well, India is a big country, so it depends on state to state. It depends on district to district. There are some freelancers in small towns who do not have any affiliation or protection of the state police because they are independent. It is these journalists who are, I think, at the greatest risk by local politicians, local criminal interests. Yes, there is a lot of freedom for journalists in the cities, but it's in the villages and the small towns that journalists have to fend for themselves.
Despite Prime Minister Narendra Modi's wide popularity, rights groups report an increase of challenges for India's press under his rule. Shortly after taking office, Modi instructed cabinet members to keep that distance with the media. CPJ's Samit Galutra says Modi has a complicated relationship with journalists.
Since Mr. Modi took office a little over a year ago, he's kept the media at great. He's gone to great lengths to keep the media at arm's length. Quite frankly, I would categorize his policies as somewhat anti-media. He's been very shy to engage with the media. He's passed on instructions to officials to refrain from giving interviews unless they have explicit permission. In addition to that, we've also seen under his rule the government engage in crackdown against outlets like Al Jazeera, which faced about a week-long ban in recent months. In addition, there was a great deal of controversy around a film around a gang rape that took place in Delhi a few years ago. That film was banned, and that also generated a great deal of controversy. So we're periodically seeing a great amount of censorship under his rule. Hopefully that may change, and in the months ahead, we're already starting to see signs that that may be changing, because Mr. Modi may be realizing that he can't completely isolate himself from the media.
Last year, the country made headlines around the world when it banned a BBC documentary about gang rape. But Sash in Kalbaj say he hasn't noticed any direct pressure on journalists, but that self-censorship is a widespread phenomenon.
I don't completely agree with it, primarily because I think it's the journalists who have turned themselves pro-Modi rather than Modi telling them, do what I'm telling you to do. What has happened is that the Modi phenomenon is a very complex phenomenon in India. But as a prime minister, I don't think he has said publicly that, you know, I want to control the media, or I want to do this to the media, or I want to do that to the media, despite a large part of the media being very, very hostile towards him. I think what has happened is that there is a lot of fear amongst a lot of media houses, and it is this fear that is making them become pro-Modi. That fear may be unjustified, because I haven't seen it, especially in my case, for instance, the newspaper that I work for. We haven't got any pressure from any government saying that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. So there is some indirect pressure which might be put by the local politicians. And because the local politicians ultimately identify themselves with the Modi government, it seems like the Modi government has put some pressure on the local journalists.
Benjamin Ismail agrees with this.
By definition, self-censorship is the hardest form of censorship for us to monitor. It means that there are many stories that do not get out, and means that when we talk to the journalists, to the staffers or freelance journalists sometimes, when we receive their feedback in the questionnaire that we use to build the Press Freedom Index every year, we can see that there is self-censorship. Journalists are sometimes not willing to talk to us, and when they fill this questionnaire, because they fill it anonymously, they are willing to put the cursor to rate the level of self-censorship. When they do that, we've seen that they've put a higher mark for self-censorship.
While most of the biggest media houses are perceived as pro-Modi, Kalbaj says the Indian media scene is actually quite vibrant.
India has close to 83 to 85,000 newspapers, close to 900 to 1,000 TV channels. It's almost impossible for any government to monitor all these newspapers and TV channels and radio stations and want to control them. That is logistically impossible. And ultimately, it depends on the strength, the moral strength of the journalist, of the editor and of the media house to protect their interests. If the newspaper or the TV channel is free of any ideology, then I think the newspaper and the TV channel are doing a good job in terms of neutral or fair reporting. Those news channels or newspapers that are bending over backwards to please the government, I think they are doing a great disservice to the practice of journalism itself.
Despite this flourishing media landscape, Samit Galutra says the press is still facing many different challenges.
There's no denying that the media scene in India is quite vibrant. There are so many news outlets, so many avenues to receive news. But at the end of the day, I would say when journalists are being killed, as they have been killed in the last couple of weeks, and there are no guarantees for their freedom, it does raise concerns about the state of media freedom in the country. And I would add that while there are a great deal of media outlets operating in India, the fact that when journalists are killed, when journalists are attacked, there are seldom credible investigations into these attacks, and rarely, if ever, any justice in these cases. So there's a great deal more that the government can do to improve the climate for journalists in the country.
According to a survey published in March by The Hoot, a South Asian watchdog, 74% of the 50 Indian reporters surveyed felt the government had clamped up, a sign that there is still work to be done. For RFI, I'm Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel.